Psalm 16, verses 2 through 11. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord, who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth, for my flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And let's pray. Father, in this day and age when so many are seeking happiness, please help us, Lord, to see through Satan's deceptions and not copy the world. Lord, the salvation you made available at Calvary, it's so wonderful. Help us as your children, please, to enjoy the benefits of the salvation that you've provided. Thank you for your word. And Lord, thank you for being such a wonderful God. In Jesus' name, amen. The text verse there is going to be verse number 8 and 9, but I wanted to show you something. Look at verse number 2. In the Old Testament, it shows how our works cannot get us to heaven. Just want to show you this here for a second, then we'll kind of dive into the sermon. It says, verse number 2 says, O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord. Watch this. My goodness extendeth not to thee. My acts of goodness and my righteousness does not extend to God. What he's saying is, he said, God, you're still God whether I live right or not. My goodness extends not to thee. And then he says, but who do your good works benefit? Look at the next verse. Look at verse 3. It says, but to the saints that are in the earth and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. I've had that verse marked since I've been saved, and I said our good works cannot earn our way to heaven, but our good works benefit each other when we serve and love each other, when we help each other. So my goodness does not extend to God, but it does help those that are around me when we love each other. Now, that's not the sermon for this morning. I just didn't want to read that whole chapter without pointing that out to you. Right here in verse number 8, it says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, anytime you see the therefore in your Bible, you always see what it's there for. Therefore, because of the verses above that, my heart is glad. Being glad and happy is mentioned all through the Scriptures. God says, I'm just going to, Psalm 9:2, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name. Psalm 31, verse 7, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. Psalm 32:11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Psalm 40, verse 16 says, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Psalm 64 verse 10 says, the righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. In our day and age, it's hard to find happy, content people who praise God for what he's done. We got plenty of people that are willing to sit around and complain about how hard they have it. And I think their life's verse is Galatians 4:15. Where then is this blessedness that ye spake of? Not really, but that's a joke, okay? That was a backdoor kind of get your attention, all right? So there's a lack of old-fashioned, simple-hearted, overflowing joy. Many people meet at church as though they're mourning a defeat instead of celebrating a victory. You know why we meet on Sunday? Because this is the day Jesus rose from the dead. You say, well, that's in Easter. No, that's all year long. We meet on Sunday because this is the day He arose. And our services are because of His victory over death. Yes, the New Testament is centered on a cross. And it's bathed in the blood of the martyrs. And it's blackened by the fires of persecution. But the note that sounds from the beginning to the end is one of triumphant joy. The word gospel means the good news. The good news. When Jesus greeted His disciples, He said three times, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. He said in Matthew 9:2, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. He said, be happy because you're forgiven. He said in Mark 6:50, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Remember when He came walking to the disciples on the water? He said, be not afraid, be of good cheer, be not afraid, it's me. He said, be happy because I'm with you all the time. And then He said in John 16:33, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And He just got done telling them, in the world you shall have tribulation, but I overcame that. Be of good cheer. No matter what you're going through this morning, you can be happy. I have learned that being happy is a choice. It's a decision. You say, no, it's an emotion, and sometimes I feel happy, and sometimes I feel sad. Wait a second. I love the old statement, you can get glad just like you got mad. It's based on the choice you make. It's a decision. It's a decision, and then the emotion follows. Earlier in Psalm chapter 9, I didn't have you turn any other place, but if you look at, when He says, therefore my heart is glad, I think you could draw attention to verse number 5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. You say, how come He's glad there? Because God's the only thing in your life that won't change. Can I use Louisiana for an illustration real quick? When the rains came in the areas that had not flooded, they had no idea. And they said their water came in so fast they didn't have time. The Lord is my portion and mine inheritance. And I wish you'd grab a hold of this. The Lord is the only part of my life that I know is going to be there tomorrow. Everything else between now and then can change. Everything else can change. Therefore, my heart is glad. Look at verse number 6. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. You ought to praise God from where God's brought you from. The lines are fallen to me in a pleasant places. And then verse number 8 is where I'm going to pull our text. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad. This passage can be taken personally as from King David, but it's also a prophetic passage where the Lord Jesus is talking. You say, are you sure? Look at verse number 10. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. When capital H, capital O, that's Jesus. This passage is the Lord Jesus speaking prophetically through David 1,000 years before He comes. So yes, I can pull personal truths, but this is a prophetic passage. You see, the Lord Jesus had a goodly heritage as the man of sorrows and yet acquainted with grief. The Lord Jesus was despised and rejected of men with nowhere to lay His head and was subject to hunger and thirst. And the few friends that the Lord Jesus had proved faithless in His time of need. Right? They all forsook Him and fled. You say, okay, how is that encouraging? Wait a second. Because this was the God-man the passage is talking about. This was the man who amidst his struggles was able to feel an inward calm and contentment. The Lord Jesus told us that He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. That means this. Our sorrows and heartaches do not compare to the Lord because none of us have ever been sent to make an atonement for sin. Did you understand what I just said? If Jesus could come and be glad and enjoy this and yet be treated the way He was, wait a second, we can too. We can too. We can be glad. We can be glad. You see, let me restate this way. Since Jesus could live above the circumstances, He proved we could also if we live by His rule and example. Look, God laid all of our sins on Him. With His stripes we are healed. He had nowhere to lay His head. Hey, did you know everybody in this room has more than Jesus had when He was here on the earth? And that's not bad. That's not sinful. But you realize you have a lot. You have a lot to be thankful for. And if Jesus could not have anywhere to lay His head and be thankful and be glad, then guess what? I can rejoice in the Lord also. I can rejoice and so can you. You see, this I call this sermon the secret of how to live a happy life. And I'm using verses 8 and 9 as the text there. But this truth of how to live a happy life, it's not in Prozac. It's not in any drug, praise God. Its price is far above rubies. I didn't say taking Prozac was a sin. Okay? I didn't say that. So please don't leave here saying Pastor Nash said. I didn't say that. But our drug-crazed society is absolutely blowing its mind. It is blowing its mind. Watch this. When a society gets out of church, then they're left to themselves to figure out their problems, and they turn to drugs, the social media, all of that stuff. I honestly believe as a church, as a Christian, if you're using the local church, what God intended, and truths from the Word of God, you have what you make it from day to make it from day to day without a nervous breakdown and without depression. Amen? I've been depressed before, okay? I understand depression. But in a society that is turning to drugs, I mean, by the multitudes, it's disturbing to me. And I wish people would turn to the Lord rather than the drugs. The secret is with those that fear the Lord. The secret of how to live a happy life gives a peace that passeth all understanding, and it keeps our hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. Because the Lord Jesus is the Prince of Peace, only He can give this special rest. Jesus did these things and obtained joy and holy rest. And if we do the same things from this passage, then we are able to experience the joy of the Lord. Psalm 16, verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. The secret of a happy life, I believe, is setting the Lord before you, living in the Lord's presence. If we're going to live in the Lord's presence, then we should make His presence the most important fact of our life. Just that truth right there, I'm going to drive it home a little bit, but if you left here thinking God is with me, it would change your decisions. Amen. But we forget God. We forget. His presence should be the most important fact of our life. Did you know the Lord's presence was the most important to our Lord Jesus? Jesus said in John 16:32, I am not alone because the Father is with me. Now I'm pulling from Jesus' example now. There is no doubt that the Lord Jesus recognized the existence of God. Everybody knows that. Even though God is invisible to us, listen, Jesus vividly realized the presence of God. We've seen the Father because we have seen Jesus by faith. And Jesus has revealed Him to us. But you and I have never seen and understood the Father in the same degree as Jesus did. He fed the multitudes, but you have to understand it was with His Father's bread. He healed the sick, but it was the Father doing the works through Him. Jesus recognized the active presence of the Most High continually in everything He did. It would help us if we did that also. It's a sad proof of our own sinful condition that the Almighty Jehovah God is everywhere and we have to train ourselves to be aware of His presence. Did you hear what I said? We have a God that is omnipresent. That means He's just as much in the parking lot as He is here. He's just as much at your house as He is here. If you grabbed hold of that, it helps a Christian not lead a double lifestyle. In other words, I'm not going to live one way at church and talk one way at church and listen to one type of music at church and then go home where God is just as much and live a different way and talk a different way and listen to a different music and hang around different. It'll affect your lifestyle.
If I have set the Lord always before me, that means He's there. I realize Him continually. He's with me everywhere I go. He's with me everywhere I go. You see, everything in God's creation speaks of His glory, but our ears are hard of hearing. His flowers scent the air that we breathe, yet we see so little of our Creator and the One who sustains us and keeps us alive. We should learn to see God in everything. This should happen this afternoon when you bow your head and thank the Lord for the food He so richly provided for you. Amen? I don't care if you're eating at your house or if you're eating at a restaurant. You ought to be able to bow your head and thank the Lord for the food. You say, why? Because He's right there. Well, what would people think? I don't know. What would the Lord think? He's right there. Isn't that a wonderful thought? I have set the Lord always before me. I realize His presence. He's right there. You can enjoy God's presence in your house and thank the Lord as you go to sleep at night. Atheists deny God. Sinners dishonor Him. Those given to this world forget Him, but the Christian lives in Him. We're in Christ. You say, are you sure? Acts 17:28 says, in Him we live and move and have our being. What a verse. He's it. If you're saved, if you're a child of God, He's with you everywhere you go. He's with you everywhere you go. What a wonderful truth that the Lord is round about us. When you set the Lord before you, you recognize God's presence, and then watch, if He's with you, then you strive to glorify the Lord as you run this race of life. The one object, this is not extreme preaching, but the one object of our life should be to glorify God. It should be. And I think everybody in here would agree with that. But the only reason it's different when we go to our house is because we forgot. But we forgot. We forgot to glorify God. We forgot God's watching. We forgot God is there. As a 12-year-old boy, the Lord Jesus said, wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business. To later on in life, when He's talking to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, after telling the lady where to get living water and saving her soul, He tells His disciples that He has meat to eat that they know nothing of. His meat and His drink was to do the will of the Father that sent Him. In every thought, in every word, in every deed, God was before the Lord Jesus, and He lived to God. In other words, Jesus lived to do the will of God. That's how He was happy. Happiness is when what you know matches what you do. You cannot violate yourself over and over again. When you know what's right and you say, I'm not going to do it anyways, that leads to sadness. And that leads to depression. And that hurts you. Jesus did say, happy are ye if ye know these things and do them. And do them. This verse is easy to quote, but it's hard to live. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. I have not mastered that verse yet. I'm trying. That means in everything I do, I'm supposed to glorify God. What's the word glorify mean? It means make God look good. I'm supposed to make beautiful God when I fill up my car. I'm not supposed to kick the pump and, you know, come on, you know, when it gets to the last thing that I've paid and the last 30 cents and no! Click, 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 come on! People are watching. People are watching. You have a testimony. We're supposed to glorify the Lord in everything we do. And if we aren't doing it, we're supposed to strive for it. I wish you could picture yourself like this, that you would not dare dishonor the name of the Lord. I don't want to do anything that would dishonor the one that saved me. Does God approve of that music? Does God approve of that person you're running with? Does God approve of that entertainment? Or if somebody else, well, it's a good thing nobody sees me. Would it bring dishonor to the Lord? Do you see how realizing His presence is with you and living for His glory can change your life? It can change your life. When you make glorifying God your goal and you fall short, listen, in the path of trying to please and glorify the King, you still find peace when you try. The Christian that is saddened is the one who doesn't even try to live holy.
Knowing God is present and seeking to please Him is the secret of living a happy life. As a child of God, you should never do anything that would dishonor the name of the Lord. Peace and contentment come to those who leave nothing undone for the Lord, no matter how hard your flesh fights you, because your flesh is going to fight. Well, I would have went to church, but it wasn't easy. It's never easy. It's always easy to stay at home on Sunday. And what? You see me do that and scratch. Right? It's always easy. When was it not hard to come to church? Everything goes fine until you say, you know what, we're coming to church Sunday morning. Then sure enough, I promise the water drain is going to break downstairs and the basement's going to flood the night before. It's like when you determine to do right, all of a sudden the devil's able to throw some obstacles in the way and you have to fight. You see, this is important this morning. I have set the Lord always before me. I want you thinking about this. When you set the Lord before you, God's presence measures and supports your obedience. As you grow in the Lord, you learn to do your best because it's the Lord you're doing it for. Look, God says, Ephesians chapter 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to man. You see, you work at being a good husband because it's what the Lord wants you to do. You do your best as a wife because it's what the Lord wants you to do. You work hard and you do your best as a parent raising your kids because it's what the Lord wants you to do. This goes for your job also. Let me make a statement this morning. You say, you're a pastor, it's easy to live for God. Your job should be holy. And if you can't do what you do for the Lord, then you shouldn't be doing it. Okay, if your major income comes from dealing drugs, I suggest you stop. Amen. But that, I don't know of any person that applies to in this room. I don't know of any drug dealers or any former prostitutes. Amen. That means what you do, you could do with the Lord tomorrow and for Him. You ever work with Brother Dorsey on a wall? He said, when I got saved, he said, my drywalling, he said, I started learning my work represented the Lord because everybody knew I was a Christian. He said, when you get saved, he said, you work harder because God's your boss. That's awesome. If he was here this morning, I'd let him preach. That's a wonderful thought because we're not supposed to serve men with eye service or only when the boss is around. When your boss leaves the property, God is still watching. Well, guys, we can lay back here and take you lazy little Diablo. I've worked in the fab shop, and I know, and I've watched them. And our boss told our shift, we were all Bible college students, there were six of us. He said, you guys earn the bonuses around here. He said, you outproduced day shift, he said, literally 2-1. And there were 13 men on day shift. We prided ourselves in that. All I'm trying to tell you this morning is, you say, well, you're a pastor. All you do is drink coffee and wait for the phone to ring. I know people think that's what I do. I do a lot more than that, okay? However, oh, it must be easy living for God when you're at the church. Whatever you do during the week, you could do with the Lord and for the Lord. Well, you can take that screw. The boss isn't looking. That's stealing whether the boss is looking or not. Amen. That's how come Christians make better employees when they're yielded to the Holy Spirit. When they're yielded to the Holy Spirit. You see, when you set the Lord before you and you realize His presence and you seek to please Him, now all of a sudden, that supports how you obey. When the Lord is before you, then His presence is what determines your effort, your attention to detail, your attitude, and your labor itself. Everybody, I know this is not, I'm not preaching anything new. But God Almighty sees everything we do, whether we are aware of it or not. Everything you have done, listen, everything you have done was done in God's presence. I think it's a horrible teaching in America. Well, God's down at the church house. God's in your home. Your home is supposed to be holy. The places you go, you say, well, you know, when we're at church, we, and that double lifestyle.
That's how come we get made fun of. That's how come Islam says we're 24-a-day Muslims. We're 24-hour-a-day Muslims. Well, I'm supposed to be... I took that as an insult. I'm a 24-hour Christian. I'm not a two-day-a-week Sunday and Wednesday, or I'm not just for 3 hours a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night Christian. I'm a 24-hour Christian. Well, why don't you come on and be a Muslim, because we're 24, we're sold out, we're committed, and they make fun of our commitment. And that's what's recruiting Islam right now. You want to be a part of something where it's worth your whole life, dumping your whole life into? That's their calling card. They're recruiting people by the thousands on the internet. That's already been on the news. And that's how they play. I find God saw everything. When you mingled with the world and were ashamed of Him, when you gossiped and criticized and dishonored Him, listen, the only one with nail-pierced hands and feet gazes and wonders at you, His friend who betrayed Him. If we would face it, you can look at any sin and say, when they did that, they forgot the Lord was watching and listening. Our regrets, every regret every person in this room has in their life, including mine, our regrets happen every time we take our eyes off the Lord. Would you think with me just for a moment? Your mind is the cleanest and holiest when you're aware that God sees your thoughts. I don't want to disgust God. I don't want to frustrate the Lord and having Him live in a dirty temple. He lives in my body. If you're saved, He lives in your body. If you set the Lord before you and let His presence affect your obedience, it brings happiness, contentment, and peace. I'm not going to look at anybody right now, but if you're playing with your phone, I really wish you'd stop. I wish you'd listen. I'm not a long-winded preacher, but I wish you would give me your attention this morning. Think of the Lord Jesus and how He set the Lord before Him. He left heaven's splendor to suffer poverty, and He never complained. He suffered shame and spitting, and He remained silent with patience. Think about this. Our Savior was beaten and scourged and mocked, and He never cried out until what? His Father had to look away as He became our filth and our sin. That's when Jesus screamed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That hurts. I can take everything until God looks away. And that is when I scream. Do you realize that? You ever thought about that? When Jesus became my sin and God had to... Jesus said, now I'm hurting. Now I'm hurting. Jesus could bear the pains and griefs of our sin until the Father withdrew the manifestation of His favor. He suffered so completely, though, that if you've placed your faith in His shed blood, you and I will never bear that judgment. God forsook Him that He might never forsake us. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Now listen, now in your Gethsemane, when the bitter cup cannot be passed, just like Jesus, but you have to drink it. This is the hard times in your life. You can always find the Lord in the day of trouble and will be able to say, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. Our Savior was tempted in all points like as we are. If you're in a fierce fire this morning and your heart's breaking, you say, I need comfort and my spirit is sick. The presence of God can make even death delightful. You say, whoa! Wait a second. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Wait a second. That's not extreme preaching. I'll say it again. The presence of God can make even death delightful. I have set the Lord always before me. That's why this morning, if you're needing God's peace and His comfort, only He can give it, and you find it when you recognize His presence. Not when you, well, I just need to deal with this problem my way, and I just need to work it this way. Why not look to the Lord and say, God, I need You. I need You. I have set the Lord always before me. If you set the Lord before you, you recognize His presence, and you enjoy unbroken fellowship.
God recorded that Jesus prayed many times, as you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But he prayed so much more when his lips weren't moving. I don't think the only time Jesus talked to God is when he said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let us give us this day our daily bread. He prayed a lot more than that. He was within constant, unbroken, continual fellowship with the Father while he was here. Therefore, my heart is glad. Why? Because I've set God before me, and I just talk to him all the time. I love that. There's an old song, and if it's bad, forgive me. But Hotline to Heaven, I think I heard that a long time ago. You know what that means? If you're saved, you can talk to God anytime you want. I don't need to say, I know God calls the gathering place, one of the names for church is a house of prayer. I know God calls this, but I don't have to say, my heart's breaking, I need to get to church so I can pray. You can talk right then. You can talk with God while you work. You say, why? Because His presence is there. And I've set the Lord always before me. And I enjoy continually talking. I remember when I got saved, and man that helped me, taught me this, and wasn't exactly all this, but he said, the Lord's with you all the time. I remember I burped one time, and I said, excuse me, Lord. He said, what'd you say excuse me to God for? I think God needs to be that real to you. And then he helps change your life with his presence. God recorded at the grave, if you remember this, just on this thought of Jesus praying, he told us, Jesus said he prayed out loud for our sakes. At the grave of Lazarus, Jesus said, I know that thou hearest me always. Listen, but John 11:42 says, but because of the people which stand by, I said it. He said, I pray out loud for your sake, because you need to hear me pray. He said, but I talk to God all the time, in continual, unbroken fellowship. If you'll set the Lord before you, you can talk with Him when you're in your car. I like what one person told me in our church. They said, on my way to work, that's my prayer time. That's my prayer time. That's when I talk to the Lord. I mean, shut the stupid radio off. Amen? I can only listen to so much of that without like going in. I'm like, wow, this world is cuckoo. You can only handle so. My wife, when we first got married, that's when Rush Limbaugh first came out. You know, who cares how long ago that was? And I would come home, and I was coming home from college and get ready to go to work. And my wife was, well, I say, honey, what you been listening to? She goes, the news. They cut up 10 people and put them in a church's chicken freezer in Chicago. Okay, you can only hear so much of that all day long and not look at every person as a psycho. You know what I mean? You know, there's another one. They're everywhere. Okay. Crying out loud. Christian, can you handle it in your car? Ever? Do you ever just shut it all off? And while you're going down the road, just talk to the Lord. He's with you. He's with you all the time. I have set the Lord before me. You see, Jesus was in constant conversation with His Father. As Jesus beheld the sin of mankind and knew how sin grieved the Lord, Jesus was in the deepest sympathy with God the Father, and He prayed many times, not just on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You don't think He saw the Pharisees and their manipulation, and He saw the sin of mankind? And I think many times before He died on the cross, He said, Father, forgive them. He was constantly praying. The pure nature of Jesus couldn't do anything except join the Lord. Because as a man, Jesus' heart was in perfect harmony with the heart of God, and His whole human nature was parallel with the mind of the Most High. He was always at peace. Every child of God should have a time when you pray. But as you humble yourself, God's grace enables you to commune constantly with Him. You should always be talking with the Lord. And while you walk on this earth, your conversation can be in heaven. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Constant communion with God is the highest state of joy that can be known on this earth. I'm going to take one side note here. There is nothing more useless than trying to learn about the nearness of God when everything is commandment and duty driven.
Oh, fine. You're preaching about walking with God in constant communion. What a bore. It's just one more thing I have to do. Now I'm supposed to do the dishes and talk with God. Straight is the way and narrow is the gate that leadeth unto life. It just got narrower. Thank you, preacher.
I'm not talking to you this morning. Do you understand? I love you. I'm for you. But if everything is a duty, I read my Bible because I have to. I pray because I have to. Watch this. Your Christianity's a joke. I said that in a nice way, and I love you, and I'm for you, and I'll help you, but your Christianity's a joke. It's not, I don't have to talk with God. He's right there. I get to. It's a privilege. I know people, okay, this is the joy of being a child of God. When you get born again, you get to enjoy the Lord and what a wonderful person God is. If you know the Lord, you can enjoy Him. As a believer, your soul cannot feed on the pleasures of this world. Hogs like it, but sheep don't. If you're God's child, living in nearness to Him is your luxury. When you get saved, you get a nature that enjoys the Lord. I know people who are trying to be happy by living for themselves as much as possible. But if you think you can find pleasure in worldliness and living for self, then would you please remember God's model for the worldly Christian, Solomon. He took everything to its fullest extent. Riches, he took it as far as you can. He's the richest man on the earth that ever was and ever will be. God plainly said that I'll give you more riches than any man that will ever live on the earth. He took education to its furthest extent. He took science to its furthest extent. Knowledge to its furthest extent. The physical relationship. He took to the first, he had 1,000 wives, 300 wives, and 700 concubines. You say, what's a concubine? That's a substitute in case a wife gets sick. He had 1,000 wives. And do you know what? He had everything this world has to offer. And you know what his words were? Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Therefore, I hated life. This world can't make you happy. Would you like to know the only thing you can make in this world is your own hell? But with God's presence, you can make heaven only with His help. I hope you listen to what I just said. We do a real good job at messing things up without God. Why don't you try it a different way with the Lord and with His in thy presence. At the last verse of the chapter, in thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy presence, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. In God's presence, you have it all. You have it all. If you break the chain of communion by going where you know the Lord is not welcomed, or by doing what the Lord cannot be a part of, the broken link, praise the Lord, can be restored. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, right? Our confidence comes from God's presence in His fellowship. Let me just draw your attention. Then look at verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Could I just tell you this as a pastor? Your confidence comes from God. I'm going to tell you something, Christian. I love you and I'm for you. But the further you get away from God, the more you care what other people think. Amen. And the closer you get to God, the less you could care what everybody else thinks. Your confidence, your consistency in the Christian life comes from your walk with God. Your Bible time. Your prayer time. I have set the Lord always before me. And then he says in verse 9, therefore, my heart is glad. The secret to a happy life, the secret to being fulfilled and peaceful and content is recognizing God's presence. Let's pray. Father, please, we love you this morning.